He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
And it looks like we have the truck wars, which we've talked about over the years, and now it looks like we're going to have the electric car wars, judging by the headlines that I've been looking at this morning before broadcast time. First, I want to go to sales, because there's some third-quarter sales change in the truck department, which might interest the truck owners, which are Ford, basically the big three, Ford, Ram, and Chevy. During this era, it looks like Ford is gaining ground on the dominancy in the truck sales, at least according to this article, and that bodes well for the truck advertising wars. It'll heat up during the course of this fall. They're already pretty hot, but they'll probably get better as the ones that are not leading the scene are trying to play catch-up in sales, and Ford will want to keep the sales lead going. Now we'll go to that in a sales situation third quarter in the electric car wars, or the electric cars in general, specifically Porsche. Porsche's Taycan has outsold the 911, and I believe the 718, if that's the right model, for the third quarter in the U.S. There were more Taycan sales, which is all electric for those Porsche owners that haven't figured it out yet, but I know they all know. And the other two are gasoline.
Yeah,
cars are here, Jay. Wouldn't you agree?
Let me step in here. First of all, I saw that too, but I think the Taycan... I think the Cayenne and the Macan still outsell both the 911 because they haven't since a long time.
Well, I've got the chart, so I don't care about that. It's a
also,
it may be just a blip.
There's no direct comparison or cross shopping between a Taycan and a 911. If anything, Porsche owners who have a 911 will consider a Taycan as their daily driver. Just as they started buying Porsche Cayennes 20 years ago when the Cayenne came out as their daily driver to complement their Porsche stable. So,
well, I'm not here to make that comparison because of that. It's just an interesting situation with the electric cars that are coming on stream, that there is such a number of Taycans that were able to be both produced and sold. Just a little below 1,900 vehicles, which for any Porsche model is high in any quarter because they are high-end cars and very high-performance cars. And you are correct that the individual Porsche buyers will seek what they want to buy regardless of whether it's electric or gasoline. But it's just announcing to the listeners here that electric cars are coming along faster, and I'll move this discussion from that to the next level, which is going to be the crossovers, which are fast seeing electric versions of them coming on stream, because the crossovers are the high demand vehicles that Americans are seeking. And to that point, the Ford Mustang has sold out their first editions, and they've also instituted or are going to institute a
you
price
mean cut pre-orders, of $3,000 a
day. They instituted a price cut of up to $3,000 before it even gets to the showroom. And so that's interesting for Ford, but there are going to be some price wars in the electric car manufacturers, I believe, as well, since battery costs are probably going to come down.
What qualifies?
Each of these electric car makers are going to try to preserve their sales levels once they come on stream.
And what qualifies as a price war, considering that, how is this actually going to work?
You have a features war first in terms of battery capacity and therefore mileage longevity as far before you have to recharge. And there's going to be that kind of thing going on. They make a note in the article I'm reading that the Tesla Model X and Model Ys are both getting better range than the Mustang will in the base models. And I believe that the VW is going to have a 20 more miles of range in their base model than the Mustang is. So that's going to enter into the fray as well, little by little, as we go forward.
So can I interject here? I think that we have different price points in the electric vehicle market, and we all know that Tesla had promised way back when that the Model 3 would be the first, you know, $35,000 car and make it affordable for everybody. The fact of the matter is Tesla is still not selling a $35,000 car, and it doesn't really matter. The Model Y is out and selling already. We haven't seen a Ford Mach 1, and we won't for a while. I was in New York City this past week, and I saw three Model Ys. And by the way, they look awesome. I saw a blue one, dark, that new color they have, a dark blue. I saw a white one, and I saw a black one. And they just look like a Model 3, just a little higher, a little more practical. And I've double-checked the pricing, and you can walk out the door with a long-range, all-wheel drive Model Y for $50,000. It's straight, it's simple, and everybody else is going to be playing catch-up in that price point market. And it's a, you know, it basically is a chopped-up, chopped-back SUV, but it's still an SUV. I think Volkswagen is going to do well with the ID.4, which is going to be somewhat starting around $39,000-$40,000. It's a little cheaper, but it's not going to be all that less expensive than a Model Y. So, yes, there's going to be some competition there. I suspect the big competition, the big war will be between Volkswagen, which on a world level has decided to go full electric in the foreseeable future, and Tesla. And those will be the two major players, in my opinion. In the cheaper cars, I still come back every day, and Robin, you know that. I look it up all the time. You can buy a Chevy Bolt for $21,000 or $22,000, brand new out the door. And by
that
the way,
is below. What is the sticker at that level? You're giving
$39,000, and you walk out the door for $22,000. I don't know what the deal is there. I don't know how they do it, but that's
either.
The reality of it. And then the other thing to consider when purchasing an electric vehicle is the whole, you know, what the IRS gives you is a tax break if you're eligible for big tax deductions or, you know, tax cuts or chunks are taken out. That $7,500 credit does not apply to Chevy anymore, does not apply to Tesla, but does apply to Hyundai, Kia, Volkswagen, obviously, and that will apply for the first 200,000 vehicles that each one of those manufacturers actually sells.
And that will be a big incentive for a lot of buyers, especially in the lower price-conscious category of buyers that are out there for the electric cars. And so if anybody's interested in that particular detail, they just have to be one of the first 200,000 buyers of each of those models you just mentioned in order to qualify for that particular taxes rebate.
Well, that'll
go a long way to helping boost those sales initially, I'm sure.
One of the things that I am curious about is there you've got a lot of, as you know from your other fields, you've got new people moving into the, let's just say, a more out-of-city, a more range-worthy area, let's just say. And many of them are conscientious about electric. And I am wondering what sort of, trying to be diplomatic here, what sort of affordable electric car there is going to be, or is the assumption just that anyone who's got the, you know, who's able to splash out on a house, get a mortgage, you know, can also get the car that they need that fits the kids that, you know, for this new transition?
I don't know whether the cars are going to fit the kids so much. You're right. The ID.4 will fit a family of four, probably. Jay knows the size range better of the Model Y. That's probably that. Is that a three-seat row?
Not as of yet, but coming.
I think there's going to be a version of it coming out with three seats, but I'm not sure it starts out that way. But I think, you know, anybody who buys a house and has an electric car and can afford both is going to have the charger in their garage. So the range issue is going to be just getting from the urban location, which in our area seems to be New York City primarily, to here, which is 100 miles more or less, and easily reached by any electric car starting out with a full charge. And once you get here, you plug it in to your garage overnight, and you're ready to go another 200 or 300 miles, as the case might be, over the weekend, and in many cases not having to charge it between usages. So that's, you know, we've been, at least I have been talking about range anxiety for many shows, and it's going to vanish fairly quickly as, I mean, you see so many Teslas around our broadcast area now, it's easy to know that the owners aren't concerned about range anxiety the way this person, me, has been for show after show up to this point. And unless you're doing the kind of driving I do, which is meaning going long distances sometimes and not wanting to spend a half an hour waiting to charge, range anxiety is a non-issue, which Jay has been sort of debating with me for some time. And he wins out on that one.
All right. Who else? Do you want to mention anything about the new Ford CEO?
I don't know anything about the new Ford CEO.
The Ford, what's I missed that. I'm sorry, Jill.
The new Ford CEO.
Oh, Jim Farley?
Yep.
What
happened?
Both people in the car world have either hate him or love him. And there's more people on the hate side than the love side. I'll just tell you that he's shaking up Ford from day one, and has put out to pasture, sent out to early retirement a number of top executives, both here in the U.S. and in Europe. I'm very skeptical. I've followed industry news for a while. Wish him luck, but I still think he's got a big job ahead of him, and I'm not sure of the outcome. The jury's out, I'll just say that.
Well, I'm not so interested in talking about personnel in the automotive industry as far as this show is concerned, because I don't think listeners really care. The way to watch the whole thing with Ford will be to see how they do in sales going forward and whether their stock improves. But the cars are going to be interesting. The trucks are obviously successful.
The
Mac 3 is likely to be successful, at least initially, as will be the Tesla truck initially, and we'll see where they have legs once the initial batches of orders get fulfilled and you go forward. And you'll see how the other vehicles' lineups in Ford continue to either succeed or not. Across the board in the third quarter, sales were not good for many of the manufacturers in the non-crossover part of their businesses. Sales were down at Honda. Sales were down in various other makes, too. Hyundai for the third quarter, and most of Honda and Hyundai are both top-heavy and sedan types of vehicles, although they have good crossovers as well, and the crossovers are doing pretty well. I want to switch topics, at least briefly, to the Takata airbags, because there was a death in a Honda vehicle, a 2002 Honda vehicle, of somebody by a misfiring Takata airbag. The point being that's going to make some news waves, but Takata has been fixing those airbag situations for a long time, since it first came out in the early 2000 era, and you're never going to get every vehicle that out there with an old Takata airbag firing pin, or whatever you call it, actuator, replaced, so that 100% of them have been fixed in all these years since this issue first came forward. It turns out that there's only been maybe under 50 deaths of Honda owner drivers of use of Honda vehicles with Takata airbags in the entire history of this airbag situation, which bodes well for the fact that there have not been a lot of accidents in the vehicles to really test the problem on the Takata actuators, although 50 is too many, whatever the actual number was. it's still remarkably low considering the numbers of Honda vehicles and number of vehicles, other vehicles with Takata airbags, have experienced the problem.
Well,
there have been that few number of accidents through this multi-year period is a good omen for drivers, I guess, more than anything. But Jay, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to say that the older a vehicle gets, the less likely it is to be, quote-unquote, being recalled, because as vehicles get older, they are usually no longer as well maintained or as closely followed by manufacturers and dealerships and ownership. The manufacturers and the dealers lose track of who the owner is.
Yeah,
and
the biggest problem,
you know, the
Jay,
recall letters don't reach the current owners. So
that's correct.
But like you said, it's becoming more and more of a moot point. And overall, there've been less deaths with the Takuda, whatever their name is, airbags, and there were with fuel tanks in Ford Pintos back in the 70s.
Right.
So
and the Firestone tire debacle back.
Yeah,
you know,
right, exactly. So I was looking and trying to get see what kind of new cars were interesting and what to follow. And Nissan has a new Rogue, which is the small SUV. It's the third generation of the Nissan Rogue, and I went through the features. It looks pretty cool. It looks a little different. Looks very modern. And it should do well. It once was one of the best or the best selling SUV in America a few years ago. So hopefully they do well. Nissan is in some sort of troubles these days, but hopefully that vehicle can put them back on the map.
Well, the Nissan Rogue's been, I think, one of the best selling vehicles in their lineup anyway, even though they have been in numerical trouble with many of their other vehicles. And I think they want to stay in the American market, and I think they've got new. Talking about not wanting to talk about people, they've got new leadership, and I think that leadership is going to try to ensure that Nissan, it remains a player in the U.S. and hopefully will regain some of the market losses that have been occurring. But that's the way it is in the automobile industry. As successes or failures go in terms of vehicle lineups.
On another note, look out for the new Escalade. I saw ads on TV for it.
I did too, yes.
So we're going to start seeing them. And,
well, the Escalade, of course,
will
is part
be
of
sure
that
to make their presence
suburban
known.
Lineup of GM, and it's a luxurious version for those who like Cadillacs. And I saw an ad for it, and it looks very good.
Yep.
They've streamlined the front end significantly. Those of us who try to identify year differentiations between older and newer versions of the same vehicle. And it's certainly a high-end vehicle that probably is higher-end looking than the Lincoln Navigator, for example.
Well, they're directly competing, and I think those vehicles have come a long way from their truck base design of 20 years ago. So
ride more than the
still gas guzzlers. And in that respect, antiquated. Although I think I saw that it's either the Navigator or no, the Aviator. I think is coming out for Lincoln is coming out with a mild hybrid. I think of the Lincoln Aviator. So that should help their gas mileage.
So is there anything that, so just out of curiosity, separate and apart from all of this, for lack of a better word, virtuous buying, is there anything that you just really, really makes you drool?
Jay?
No.
Okay. Robin?
No.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think that's a fair question only because, sorry to throw that in, but, you know, part of the fun is, hey, I really want a car, not trudging, you know. Trudging robotically towards the near, you know, obviously.
No, the cars have become so competent. I mean, everyday cars are so fast, so the performance is unbelievable that to get any car that go that wows you, that you can actually drive on the road, is there's a disconnect. So I can't really get excited. I hate to say it, being a car guy.
Well, I agree, Jay. What I'm trying to figure out is what some of the Tesla models can do to evolve in looks over. They're already what I think are timeless, excellent looks for the model lineup they have.
Why do they have to do anything?
Trying to figure out how to redo the Model S. But you know, all the electric cars, a lot of electric cars from the Chinese competition at least, look a lot like the Tesla designs, sleek and very fastbackish and the like. And is that going to get tiring for people to look at? I think the VW ID4 is going to look neat. I think the Chevrolet Bolt looks different, and you know, because they're a different kind of vehicle, they're more
good design is timeless.
That's correct.
The Model
and once
S,
you reach
yes,
a good design,
for redesign, but it actually design-wise, if you look at it, it looks very modern,
and it will hold that look.
Hmm? That's
and
the
it
great
will
thing.
Hold that look.
Hey,
yeah.
That's the great thing. P.S. That's the great thing about timeless. We've only got a couple minutes left, and I, because I am being affected by this, would just like to talk about whether or not there are more crashes during the pandemic because of risky behavior. All anyone has to do is go to Music Mountain or White Hollow Road if one is interested in observing.
What is happening on Music Mountain Road or White Hollow for the in that?
A lot of people who don't know where they are and who don't know. And it's not just GPS. You just are kind of in a fog. And it's like, oh, I might be going the wrong way. I'll just stop and turn around.
Yes, I think the NHIS is out with a study on the, I believe, the second quarter of 2020. And I think although over the number of miles driven has gone down 16% because of the pandemic, deadly crashes have gone up 3% overall. So there seems to be more drugs, opioids, and overall risky behavior associated with those with driving. And one of the the comments that I read was, if the safe thing to do is to stay home and you're going out on the roads, that tells us something about your attitude and your willingness to take risks.
Except that
therefore,
you're
it's not surprising to see more crashes on the road.
I'd like
I don't
to
know
kick in something on that because I have been driving the Merritt Parkway quite a bit recently, both ways, and there have been a number of slowdowns due to accidents, and I've noted that they have seemed to have come from rear-ended accidents created by probably a sharply slowing line of cars followed by an inattentive rear number of people who have not known that the car in front of them was braking suddenly and had plowed into the rear end, causing this accident. And you get back to what are people doing? Some of them, too many people have their eyes in their iPhones in the middle of their steering wheels, I've noted, driving along. And there's virtually no enforcement of the don't use your cell phone on the highway because there aren't any troopers doing that kind of enforcement as opposed to sitting on the sideline watching the traffic go by and checking speed, but more often waiting for to be called out because an accident might have already occurred.
I just have one hunch. I think that when traffic flows differently when the number of cars is different, like if you go to the city during the weekend versus a weekday, the flow of traffic is totally different. And so during this pandemic, I've gone places where you would usually expect bottlenecks, and there were none. So you're kind of not expecting traffic patterns to be this. Traffic patterns are different, and therefore you're less prepared to encounter whatever obstacle or unforeseen condition that may occur. I mean, that's just my two cents.
All right. Well, we will see what happens. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.